Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
It's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello, so it's the penultimate pod before Christmas, and all through the list, managers will be asking, should I stick or twist? Of course, the prices will continue to rise and fall as people hit confirm on that week's big call. And whilst they're snuggled on Christmas night, asleep after a great time, their alarms will be on for 11:20, so it's not a missed deadline. Yes, it's the final proper pod before we go off. I think we might do a quick one next week, maybe on Sunday. But yeah, for the final proper podcast of the season, we're joined by the folkiest of all folks in the drunk tank on Saturday morning, all the way to our pod here on Monday evening. Great pleasure again to be joined by Mark at FPL General. Welcome, mate, and it was great meeting you in person on Friday.
Yeah, great to pod again. And yeah, Friday was excellent. It was my first proper big FPL meetup, so really enjoyed it. Great to meet so many and just about recovered now to be able to record and got my voice back now.
Yeah, it's great to have you on the pod again, Mark, for what seems to be a bit of a festive tradition now. And yeah, it was great to see you at the Xmas drinks as well, which was a fantastic gathering, really good chance to meet lots of the community, and also quite an eventful night. So just to say who we are, of course, Who Got the Assist. You can find us on Twitter at WGTA_FPL or at WGTA_Nick. And if you don't follow General here, it's at FPL General. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, whatever you'd like to get the pods. So what are we talking about on this week's pod, Tom?
Well, in what's likely to be an overflowing stocking of a pod with Mark on, we're going to be getting the General's advice on whether loyalty or riskiness, promiscuity perhaps in FPL, is the route to success this season. We'll of course look at the liver blank and provide some sage words on Christmas FPLing to be the stuffing for the pod. And of course, there's market forces, the over 30s, dad watch and listener questions. Thanks so much for those. But as we've just inferred, the first thing to say is thank you so much to everybody who came last Friday. As Nick said, it was a very eventful night. Lots went on, lots of people meeting for the first time in person, and even your dad went, Nick, as well. Did he enjoy himself?
Yeah, he did. So yeah, he turned up for a few hours before it got too messy anyway. Yeah, and he said he really enjoyed meeting the community and chatting to everyone about FPL, and he learned a few tips as well, which he appreciated. So yeah, it was great for him to come along as well and meet the community as well. So yes, shall we start with those game week reviews? Mark, General, as the guest, would you like to go first? How did your game week go? How's your season going?
It was a good game week. I think I'm going to finish on roughly about 77 points, depending on how many bonus points Zaha can pick up. I expected him to get zero, but it looks like he might get one or two, so fingers crossed there. So all in all, a very good game week. I think I'm probably going to go from about 342k to hopefully just inside the top 200k. So really happy if that does happen. Got the wild card to play at some point over Christmas, which I'm sure we'll talk about. I need to try and avoid playing a drunken Christmas wild card disaster. So yeah, overall, great game week. There's only the only players who really didn't deliver for me were Tammy Abraham, Dele Alli, and Martin Kelly tonight. So held on to De Bruyne, had Mane, Lundstrom. And Zaha's points were very sweet tonight because about 20 minutes to go in the game, I was really had mentally sold them. ahead of game week 18, but that goal might just survive him from the chop now.
Oh, no, it was never in doubt, Mark. It was never in doubt. I strongly deny, categorically deny any accusations that I was thinking of selling him or tweeted about selling him, indeed. If I had one wish, I think, at the end of that game, it was that Zaha goal to go in. Yeah, I same as you, celebrated that pretty hard, actually. I think I did my back in celebrating that. So it sounds like you're doing well, Mark. I'm not very far behind, actually. 75 points this week, depending on, again, how Zaha has done. And that should take me up to inside the top 300k, which isn't too bad. I've been kind of treading water a bit, and I've had a very kind of achingly template team. So getting those differential points in has been very, very good. I did, however, take a -4 this week to buy Rashford, which obviously didn't go particularly well because I sold Jimenez to do so. And it's a -7 swing, and I think I got away with it looking at the highlights because Jimenez was taking a lot of shots in that Wolves-Spurs game. We own De Bruyne, Lundstram, TAA, Pope at the back with a clean sheet, the patience payoff clean sheet, and Vardy captain, not doing very much. But yeah, 75, not bad at all. And finally, Nick, how did you do?
So yeah, I was pretty happy with my score this week. Not as high as you guys, but I got a 69-pointer this week. So yeah, pretty happy with that. I think Vardy got the 10-pointer captain. Obviously, De Bruyne sort of being the main man for all of us with the 19 points. And the Lord Lundstrom, he's my shepherd. He leadeth my team at the back. So quite happy with his 11-pointer there with Trent as well, 6-pointer in defence. Mane, 6-pointer. And Jimenez, 5-pointer. So yeah, pretty reasonable, around 120k now overall rank. So I'm quite happy with that at this stage of the season.
Yeah, it sounds like we're all at quite a decent platform, which is a big contrast where, well, Mark, you and I definitely were at this time last year, an absolute train wreck of a season last year. Hopefully it will not follow suit this year. Right, so this week then, it's about loyalty and promiscuity in FPL. I think that's interesting to talk about because this week, obviously, with Kevin De Bruyne returning that 19-pointer, there was much sadness amongst sellers and much jubilation amongst people who have kept patience with him. There's been lots of examples of this sort of dynamic paying off one way or the other. For example, keeping Tammy versus selling him for Rashford, or maybe something like buying Wilf Zaha in for Mason Mount. There's lots of examples, perhaps, of where patience slash riskiness has definitely come into the equation, something that we should be looking at in terms of what we do. And I think the default position, it's fair to say, is patience for a lot of people. Whenever you do kind of think, oh, I'm going to take a risk, and when you do kind of start discussing the fact you're taking a risk, I think that a lot of people do look at it and just think, well, you know, patience has been the key for so many years. Why should I kind of sub out of that, I suppose? And Mark, you've been definitely somebody who's notoriously very, very patient. Do you think that that's still the case and it's still the key to success? Or have there been instances this year when risks have definitely been luring you?
You know what? It's a very good question. It's something I've been thinking about quite a lot recently. And I actually spoke to a lot of people about this at the meetup on Friday as well. So yeah, as you say, I've always been notoriously patient and very boring, you know, late transfers and probably holding on to players longer than others would. You know, Zaha's a good example. People were very tempted to ship him out after two bad game weeks, and he's come good now for us. I have to admit as well, you know, I mentioned it on last week's podcast that for the first time this season, I was starting to waver a little bit on Kevin De Bruyne. But at the same time, I always felt that before an Arsenal fixture just wasn't the right time to do so. But it's been a case this season where, you know, probably quite often this season that the more aggressive managers who are maybe more willing to act quickly on bandwagons and maybe more inclined to take a few hits than I am. I think I've only taken two so far this season. Quite often it's been rewarded this season. But, you know, who's to say if that's going to be the case in the second half of the season? But, you know, going back to your question is, you know, is that the right way to play now? Or you know, can you win FPL playing the way I play? And part of me thinks, you know, maybe you can't. And part of me, even though, you know, as long as I played the game seriously, I've played it the same way, and it's been very easy to do so because I've had a couple of very successful seasons. But there is part of me, there's something niggling inside me for next season is to change things up and just try something different. Have maybe an experimental season where I do play more aggressive, maybe make earlier transfers, take a few more hits than I usually would, and just see what happens, and just to weigh it up against, you know, a season like this season or some of my previous seasons. So I definitely do think, you know, I always say there's no right or wrong way to play the game, but I think it is very hard to win FPL overall by playing my very patient, boring approach.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you, Mark, actually. I've had sort of more of a patient approach to my game. I've only taken two hits so far this season as well, which I was quite surprised by, to be honest. I felt like I'd taken more hits than that to see only two. And the last time I actually took one was back in game week four, believe it or not. Applying that sort of patient approach generally has worked for me. I found that whenever I've sort of taken a gamble, taken a risk, and, you know, inevitably I always sort of crack at one point and say, right, you know what, I'm getting a bit bored here. I want to experiment a little bit, play a few risks. And I did that a few weeks ago as well with a sort of a Trent Alexander-Arnold captain. Which didn't pay off. I found that it's always kind of blown up in my face personally, and it's never really worked. So I have found that the patient approach always seems to work for me. And whenever I want to try and do something a little bit different, a little bit more exciting, it tends to kind of not work for me. And I know Tom's kind of a little bit more kind of itchy trigger finger than I am. He likes to make a lot of changes. He likes to take hits. He likes to take risks. Typically, you know, historically, he used to do very well. Since we started the podcast, I've managed to beat him. But, you know, I think it's, I know Tom's like likes to take a few more chances than I do. And sometimes, you know, it hasn't worked out for him in the past. I don't know what you think about that, Tom, in terms of your strategy and what you prefer.
I sometimes just can't sit back and not take the risk. Like, this is why I write all the over-management stuff, for example, and obviously compare myself with managers like Mark, because at the end of the day, I want to try to coach myself, teach myself into being more patient with my players. But then again, there are things like, you know, when Vardy a few weeks ago was playing Arsenal, I didn't own him, but I saw the fixtures to come and thought, well, I've got to take a hit here. I've got to get him in. Might as well give him the captaincy as well. That sort of risky kind of maneuver at that point. Like, you didn't bring him in that week, did you, Nick? But I kind of
went, no, I didn't. That was a mistake. Yeah.
Yeah, and that did work that week. But then, even with patience, there's sometimes a bit of a fraught road there. Like, sometimes you could think you're giving future you a gift, but actually you're, well, I mean, with Tammy, for example, I could have gotten rid of him a few weeks ago. I mean, he did get about 12 points versus Aston Villa, but I mean, he hasn't returned other than that, I don't think, in the last five game weeks, which is, yeah, it's not very good compared to your record with Rashford. But then again, this week with De Bruyne, a positive example of how patience can pay off. So sometimes it is very difficult to see whether aggression is a good thing, because there are always anecdotal examples of what's happening. I guess at the start of the season is one time of the night when this particularly kind of comes to mind for me, because obviously big at the back was something that we were all looking at the start of the season. You know, we all went into the season with a pretty hefty defence. And I think people who repositioned early on found themselves with maybe not necessarily more points early, but huge team value early, because the value related game appears to have kind of gone towards that stronger in midfield and stronger up front. And people who are planning ahead to the next template, people who are able to react to the fact that how we started didn't work particularly well when we landed, appear to have gotten ahead a little bit further. So, I mean, in terms of the hits, before the Zaha goal went in, I'd pretty much mentally written him off. He was out of my team, and I had Ali in that spot. Now I'm kind of thinking, do I kind of stick to it, take the calculated risk, or has that bought Zaha some time? Because I said, if he doesn't score, then he's gone. He has scored, and he has hopefully got a couple of bonus. So it's a bit of a tough thing. Like, Mark, at this point, then, I mean, you said as well off camera that you were looking to maybe move him on. Like, what does the goal do to your thought process? Because to me, it kind of makes me think, you know, I could hold him, but I'm still leaning towards the sunlit upland of moving Ali in and having that sort of Ali Son double up.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, you know, both of us were talking earlier before the Zaha goal went in, and we both already had him sold in our minds for game week 18. And, you know, a goal does a lot for when one of your FPL players scores a goal. It changes your thinking a lot, but really we should be asking ourselves, should it change our thinking? Because Zaha's been pretty awful the last three games. You know, he's had very few shots. Crystal Palace just never looked like scoring. So, I mean, it's a case of, does the goal get by him another game week in my case? Because I think I'm probably going to wildcard in game week 19. So in my case, it's probably easier to keep him because it's a one-week punt, essentially. But the goal probably shouldn't do enough for us to keep him. You know, if people like yourself can get to Dele Alli or people like Jack Grealish, I think you probably take the points and run now, just judge on Zaha. Even on tonight's performance, you know, that goal came out of absolutely nowhere. He just scored a worldie from nothing. And you don't want to be relying on your players to score worldies. You'd rather see him get four or five, you know, decent chances during the game. So yeah, it's a tricky one now with Zaha, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I think the initial sort of justification for buying him was the talisman ship that he seemed to represent. We thought that he would do that. He'd be the guy who would make the difference. He'd score the goal. But I think you're right in the context, as we said, you know, way back with Adam Hopcroft when he was on the pod, the context of watching the game is so important there, because that was his only shot, I think. I don't know if he had another one when I was setting up, but that was it. If he didn't score that worldie, we'd both be sitting here with twos and, you know, we'd both be saying we're getting rid of him straight away. So I think it is sometimes, as you say, when the goal does go in, you think, oh, maybe I should give him one more week. It feels like kind of good practice, quote unquote. But I just see opportunity there. And I see people who've got Zaha who will think, oh, right, I'm going to keep him now. So I can steal a march on them by bringing Ali in now. But that thinking has led me down some pretty poor paths before, for example, selling Salah last year. But selling Zaha, selling Salah, not quite apples and apples, is it, Nick?
No, I don't think so. And you can sometimes be a victim of the fixture schedule. So sometimes with like a player like Zaha, you look at his next four and you think, actually, I kind of want him for all those games because he might do something about any of those opponents. He's got Newcastle, West Ham, Southampton, Norwich, and then Arsenal up next. So you kind of look at that fixture and actually, he looks like a decent player for the next five. But we have seen with some of these players that you can keep too much faith in them. And you have seen some sort of contrasting examples, as you said, Tom. You know, we talked about some of the positive examples of, you know, keeping faith in players and, you know, the likes of Maddison for me and De Bruyne as well. But you've also got the examples of owners that kept Pukki, for instance, or kept Callum Wilson. And, you know, they've been on some sort of horrendous runs of blanks over the course of this season. So there's been a few players that, you know, getting rid of them and getting on other players that were doing well at the time, like Tammy Abraham or Vardy or Jimenez, really paid off in terms of sort of changing up your forward line around that sort of game week 7, game week 8 period. So I think there are cases where players, you know, they do come into form, you know, like De Bruyne, for instance, this week's absolutely smashing it for his managers. And Raheem Sterling sort of finally showing up after quite a series of blanks, but they're still being sold. But then there's other cases where, you know, like to Maddison, for instance, I had a lot of patience in this guy and then suddenly he started really banging it for me. So it kind of is, you know, you get some cases where some players really show up, but other cases where, you know, it's time to get rid. And I think some players like De Bruyne, you know that he's a class player. He is going to deliver on the big stage. And especially with Manchester City as well, you know, they are the team with the most goals with 44. They are the team with the most goal attempts with 337. And Kevin De Bruyne's created 60 chances, which is 33% more than any other midfielder. So the stats said this guy's a player you want to keep. But, you know, with some of these other players, you know, like Sir Callum Wilson, it's probably sensible to get rid because he plays for like a much smaller club compared to Manchester City.
Being able to look at the numbers in context, as always, is so important, because for every Kevin De Bruyne, there's a Tadic or something like that who's producing the volume without producing any of the actual end product. And certainly kind of getting lucky with kind of making decisions on that is key, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you mentioned when we were talking about Zaha off air about the fact that the players he's playing alongside made a big impact in terms of the game. He may be the talisman, but when he passes to the likes of Jordan Ayew, when he passes to the likes of Max Meyer, and they can't do anything, they can't do the 1-2 with him, it just doesn't work out for him and he just can't deliver even if the fixtures do look enticing.
Cool. All right. So I guess in terms of loyalty versus promiscuity, I think it's a bit of a false binary in some ways. It's actually just very situational and it's always about the luck. Like with Rashford this week, my buy and Jimenez the sale. A few people said, oh, you know, maybe you shouldn't have done that this week. But it's just one of those that sometimes you could be made to be looking absolute fool if it doesn't quite work out. Other times you can maybe just look an absolute genius. And it's just one of those that didn't quite happen. But I still think there are kind of some huge examples, you know, selling Salah last year or, you know, selling Aguero for a hat trick a couple of years ago, something like that. Those things do weigh in people's minds. They are the most available information, which can mean that people do sometimes walk away from the calculated risk, even if it is perhaps a good idea to sell on. Sterling is a great example of that. All right. So in terms of sticking or twisting, this week offers us a very good example to talk about it because it's the liver blank coming up. I had a few questions about this. FPL Sponge, who we met at the FPL meetup, the Dairy Cracker, Rahul Mahensaria, all asked, is selling Liverpool assets a good idea? And my FPL strategy also says, what do we do if we have free assets? So, I mean, in terms of your Liverpool players, guys, what are you doing with them?
Liverpool's a real tricky one because after the blank, it's a tough run of fixtures. You know, Leicester, Wolves, Sheffield United, and Spurs. it's probably going to be the toughest decision I have to make when I play my wildcard in game week 19 is which of them do I keep and how many of them do I keep. I've got Manny and Trent at the moment. I think I'm probably going to sell Manny this week just for a 1 week punt on someone, probably Heung-Min Son. That gives me at least the wild card then gives me the choice of whether I want to go for Manny or Salah then, which is a nice position to be in because Salah's been looking great again last couple of weeks. So he may win over Manny when it comes to my wild card. Trent is the big one because if I want to go with, you know, a powerful front seven, which is quite common, you know, the template at the moment, because I'm a very patient manager, my team value is lower than most. I don't even know what it is because I very rarely look at it. At a guess, it's probably only about 103. It's definitely not 104. So in that case, I probably have to cut a few corners, and Trent is probably one of the ones that I'll be really weighing up. He's a player I've kind of said all season is a season keeper because I don't really look at him as a defender. He's a winger. If he gets you know, a clean sheet, it's a bonus almost because he gets so many attacking returns. So I think it's a really tough one. It's probably even tougher if you don't have a wild card. I think one of Salah or Mane is important. Yes, the fixtures are tricky, but they are the best team in the league. You know, they're scoring plenty of goals. So I definitely think I wouldn't want to be without one of those two. I don't think it even matters too much which one you have. I don't think there'll be too much difference in scoring, you know, over the next five or six game weeks between those two. But defensively, it's really tricky. I think there is a case to be made for going without as well if it allows you to have, you know, a powerful attack.
Yeah, certainly. It's hard to overlook Trent, isn't it, though? Like, if you look at any of the numbers in terms of the attractive ones to FPL managers, he's absolutely bossing them. For example, top of chance created over the last five, 21. Absolutely crazy for a defender. That said, he's the one, and in agreement with you, Mark, the one that I would be looking to sell, and I indeed am looking to sell, just because I want to pour, well, Zaha, if he's going to stay or go, I'm not sure, but I want to pour monies forward now. It just feels like the value really has moved into the midfield, into the attack. And the defence does look a bit like an area that I can access those funds, smash the cash cow, because to be honest, Soyuncu, Rico, Lundstram, Kelly, plus one. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? If you said that to me before game week one, that these people would be propping up my Christmas, I'd think that you're absolutely crackers. But the reality is that seems to be a very strong setup that a lot of people do own, just to cover your back. And then going forward, you can pour in a lot of cash. So I'm looking at the Son Ali double up, Kevin De Bruyne and Mane in midfield, and the VAR up top. I think that looks very, very strong and really suits the fixtures we're about to see. But I agree with you with Mane as well. I think owning one of them, you're not going to captain them. And I can see why the justification for many is I'm not going to captain him. Therefore, I'm going to take Ali in and have 3-4 million difference. But I'd be very worried to go without a player like that. And I always kind of think I'm going to have to turn back on myself and buy that player in anyway. So why sell? I don't really see that I'm going to get too much advantage out of that because I can make some other kind of alterations around the side. Nick, what do you reckon?
So I think for me, I'll probably play to the character. I'm actually probably going to keep both my two Liverpool assets. I'm probably going to not sell either over the course of the liver blank and, you know, bring him back for game week 19, fresh and ready to perform again for my team. Because I think one thing probably is to note is the obviously the sell value. It sounds a bit obvious, but if you owned Mane, you know, from the start of the season, and you sell him, then you're essentially going to lose 0.4 million in value. And is that worth just for one game week? I don't know. I'm quite happy with the strength and depth I've got in my team and the starting 11 that I'm going to play in the next game week. So I don't really see it's worth selling Mane and the options that are available. And same with Trent as well. There's not really any defenders that I would particularly want for the next game week. I'm quite happy with the sort of Kelly, Rico, Lundstram setup and the fixtures that those guys have got for the next game week. And I'm probably going to do something very boring like sell Soyuncu and bring in another Sheffield United defender like George Bulldog, I think, perhaps. So I'm quite happy just to bring back Trent for the next fixture. And to be honest, you know, looking at the sort of game week 18 fixtures, there's nothing enticing. You know, if we were talking about, you know, Spurs playing Watford or Manchester City playing Norwich, I'd probably be tempted, you know, to triple up on both those teams and you know, load up and sell a Liverpool asset to enable that. But, you know, they're essentially playing Chelsea and Leicester, so the four best teams in the league other than Liverpool playing each other. So there's nothing exciting going on. There's nothing that I'm feeling like, you know, I've got a bit of FOMO about. I think the only player I really want that I don't have at the moment is Heung-Min Son. But I think for me, I think Mane will stay in the team. I will want him for game 19, and I'm not going to take the hit on losing him. And same with Trent as well. He'll stay in the team. So if I sell him, because I had him since the start of the season, if I sell him, I think I'd lose 0.2 because based on the price rises. So I'm hanging on to those Liverpool players over the Liver Blank, and we'll have them ready for game 19. But if it was a scenario where I had a triple up, I'd definitely be strongly considering selling one of them.
Yeah, I think the triple, I'm definitely considering selling one of them. I don't know. I can see why I can really see why you'd sell Mane, but he's one I'm not going to sell. With Trent, I mean, just looking at the fixtures up until February, I mean, they've got the blank, they've got Leicester away, which is basically first versus second, of course. Wolves and Sheffield United at home, okay, should win that. Spurs away, Man United at home, and Wolves away before their run gets good again. So, I mean, I guess what I'm doing is I'm kind of anticipating that people like yourself may be thinking, I'm going to hold on to this guy. I'm not going to sell him. What's the point of me selling him? Whereas I've freed up loads of funds and then I can afford a monster frontline. And that's kind of where I'm leaning into the opportunity that where there's other people who are being cautious. I can take the risk and hopefully gain some reward out of that, because then you're suddenly a week, 2 weeks behind the template if that's the way it goes, if that makes sense. So Mark, FPL Puck asks us here, you know, if you are selling our Liverpool assets, where are we going to be going with that?
Yeah, I think we've covered most of it, but I think the natural place to go from, if it's a midfielder, I think the natural place to go is Spurs, given how well they've been doing recently. So, you know, I've got Dele Alli, and I'm looking, like you've mentioned as well, I like the idea of the Son Alli double up as well. I watched some extended highlights of the Spurs game today, and if you took a freeze frame at any stage during the game, it's just Son and Alli, you know, up front, and Kane's nowhere to be seen. So I think those two offer, you know, really good value, and you know, they're captaincy options as well, Son in particular. So, but you know, there's a lot of different directions you can go. You know, you can, no matter where you go, really, from a Liverpool midfielder or a Liverpool defender, you're going to be freeing up cash. So it does enable, you know, maybe an overall more balanced squad. The issue I have with defenders is there's not that many that I like. You know, if I was to lose Trent, you know, I haven't had a Leicester defender all season, so I probably should get one of those. You know, maybe Aurier at Spurs as an attacking fullback. But apart from that, there's very little that I like. And it's probably a case of like Nick said as well, just dropping down and having the budget, you know, your Lundstroms, your Kellys, your Ricos, and just pumping the cash into attack. And I can completely understand why people are doing that. And that's what I may end up doing. I may reluctantly sell Trent. So that, I think that's going to be that's definitely going to be my hardest decision when it comes to wildcard, whether to keep him or to use his cash to maybe pump it into midfield or attack.
I think the fixtures just aren't like, okay, it is Liverpool. And as we said at the start of the season, any Liverpool fixtures apart from Man City and now maybe Leicester are basically ones on the FDR, because you'd expect them to beat every team. And you would expect reasonably there to be a clean sheet. Of course, they've been having issues with that recently. Well, it's now slightly better, but equally, I just don't know. I think that money can be better used for now. And you mentioned Aurier there, the walking liability, the time bomb, the eventual red card that's coming. He's the one that I am really looking at, just because I quite like the idea of getting in on that 12-pointer or -2-pointer lottery every week. The tripling up with him, I think, is a good idea for Spurs, just because, one, I trust the predictable Mourinho team over Christmas who are in form. I think that Wolves game, winning that in the last minute, would do absolutely wonders for their team, for their kind of, I know it's intangible, but their confidence. And Aurier really is looking like the man who's the extra man in attack at the moment. He's kind of a budget Trent, effectively. Yeah, obviously Trent's a much better player, and I'm not suggesting that Aurier is the same quality of player as Trent is, but he could well fill that role, especially over those three lovely, lovely fixtures over Christmas for Spurs, which are, just mentioning again, Brighton, Norwich and Southampton, 19-21. So I'm liking the idea of a triple up there, and again, leaning into the fact that people like Nick are going to be kind of thinking, well, I want to keep my players here because I want to be averting any risk, but I don't want to be dragging people down the wrong path.
Yeah, I think that is the challenge, you know, whether it is worth taking that risk over the Christmas period. Because, you know, I've weighed up the options as to how to bring in another Spurs player. I've already got two in Alli and Gazzaniga in goal, and I really want Son. But, you know, just get how I fit him in is just impossible at the moment. I'd have to sell Maddison and fund 2 million, probably for a Trent sale. or I'd have to sell De Bruyne. And I was thinking about selling De Bruyne up until that Manchester City game.
I guess the final thing to mention on the liver blank is that quite a few people were looking at the free hit this week and thinking, oh, maybe that's the time to do it. If you've got three Liverpool players and you're thinking, oh, I don't want to do the surgery. But I mean, I think my initial thought is don't do that. Ben Crellin has said himself that the free hit is probably going to be better used later on in the season when there's going to be a huge blank. And the fixtures this week don't quite lend themselves to it. I mean, Mark, what do you think about that? I know that you're not going to be doing it, but can you see why people are looking at it? And would you ever, in any circumstance, think it's a good idea?
I think it's, first of all, I think whatever, I'm a big believer in whatever Ben Crellin says, you listen to what the main man says. So I can understand why people will be tempted, you know, if they log in and look at their team this week and maybe if they have three Liverpool players and maybe if they have a couple of, you know, even one or two bench players who don't play each week, the temptation is there. But I think it's going to be pretty straightforward this season in terms of blank and double game weeks. And we're going to have a big blank game week later in the season where the free hit will be much more effective. You know, I would happily roll with 9 or 10 players this week if it allowed me to keep that free hit chip, which is a very powerful chip for later in the season. So yeah, for me, it's not an option. I think you just get through game week 18 with whatever you've got, and it'll be much better later on. The main reason against it is the fixtures. I mean, what kind of free hit team would you go to? I was listening to the boys on Planet FPL today, and they were running through the fixtures, and you know, there's just so many games that can go either way, and it's actually a very difficult week to even put a free hit squad together. So for me, it's an absolute no-no this week.
Yeah, I'd agree with both of you there, to be honest. You know, free hit, I don't think it's the right time for it. This liver blank, there's going to be plenty of opportunities later on in the season to use it. So a few things for us all to think about. And so Christmas approaching. We're going to have a quick discussion now about how we're going to manage over that festive period, you know, overeating, alcohol and the deluge of FPL game weeks. And Mark, as a guest, what's your Christmas plan generally? What do you normally do over the Christmas period when it comes to FPL?
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to driving home for Christmas next weekend. So I'll be heading back to Ireland for 2 weeks. And it's, you know, it's going to be a lot of time spent catching up with family and friends. So it's FPL, I won't say it takes a backseat, but I do switch off from it for a little bit, which is, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But it's tricky over Christmas because especially when you have Boxing Day and you have New Year's Day, you know, deadlines at 11:30 on each of those days when most people are probably going to be having a few drinks the night before or all day and the night before. It's a tricky one. And, you know, it reminds me of, it might have been 2 seasons ago. I was out on New Year's Eve and I woke up on New Year's Day. I think I woke up at about 10:45 and I seen loads of yellow flags and red flags, and in a hungover panic, I just hit the free hit button on New Year's Day. I think it was okay. I think I ended up scoring about 21 points more than my team would have if it had a you know, just left it the same. But that I'm not advising that. That's exactly the kind of thing you need to avoid. You know, get your team locked in before you do have a few drinks or before you head on nights out and stuff like that, because it's very easy to forget, just quite simply easy to, you know, forget about deadlines as well because they come so thick and fast. So one thing I always do and I advise is to write down all the deadlines on a post-it note on your laptop or wherever it is, and or set reminders on your phone, because it's, you know, if you miss one game week deadline, you know, it can make or break your season. So yeah, it's a busy time, and hopefully I can manage it. It's going to be tricky for me because I'm going to play the wild card. You know, I've been saying I was going to wait until game week 20 for the wild card because I don't want to play it, you know, Christmas Day and Boxing Day morning, or at least finalize it on Boxing Day morning, because it's pretty dangerous. But
very ambitious.
when I looked at the fixtures then for game week 19, you know, a lot of the players I'll be targeting, the likes of Spurs, Man United, Chelsea, all these teams have really good home fixtures in game week 19. So that tells me I should probably play it there and get the extra game week out of it. But, you know, I'm probably going to have to take it easy on Christmas Day and then just save myself for after the deadline on Boxing Day, just to make sure the wildcard squad is a sensible one.
That's dedication there, saving yourself on Christmas Day for FPL purposes. No, I'm not going to have another one, Mum. No. I've got to be good for FPL tomorrow morning. I'll believe that when I see it, Mark. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think just writing stuff down is so helpful. Like just So you've got a record of it somewhere that you know is somewhere that you can refer to it. So you don't do something silly, as you said, you know, go off and think, oh, you know, I can sleep in because there's no deadline tomorrow. And when it does come thick and fast, you do find that, especially those lower down the mini leagues, do start to drop off around this time because they've forgotten to make the truth. They've forgotten to make changes. You often see people with free transfers rolled again and again and again throughout this period. People, yeah, for reasons you can understand, completely switch off. But I think for me, it's just about the boring old adage of having a deep squad so you are able to deal with any kind of surprise rotation, because there will be a lot of it, the dirty R word. And another thing that I'm doing this year, a little bit especially, is I'm planning to basically make my moves. So I'm not making any moves on Christmas Day / Boxing Day or New Year's Day. So I'm going to be taking a hit beforehand, trying to basically roll on Boxing Day or something like that, and also on New Year's Day too. This is because over the last couple of years, I've made a few terrible decisions on Boxing Day. Last season, I bought in Klasinac on Boxing Day. And the year before that, I bought in Willian. Both had left my team again by New Year's Day. So it just goes to show you the sort of, you know, when you've had a few, you're just kind of looking at your FPL team in the bathroom and you're thinking, oh, you know, I might as well just make one change. Why not? Just try and get rid of that instinct. So if I take a hit and kind of lock myself into a little plan, I think that may be a little bit of a self-help for me to sort myself out, or maybe use my transfer rather than taking a hit. You kind of see what I mean. I just don't trust myself over Christmas, basically. What about you, Nick? What are your plans? You're quite good at switching off anyway, aren't you?
Oh, I try to. I was just going to say, to be honest, my advice in terms of sort of the Christmas period, FPL game weeks, is at the end of the day, Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. It's meant to be a time where you spend with your family and you enjoy festivities and a little bit of time off work. So I would also suggest that you try not to, when you're with your family members, I know it's hard, but try not to stay too glued to your phone, too glued to the TV, and get too angsty if you're having a bad game week, because at the end of the day, it is a game after all, and we're all here to kind of enjoy ourselves and not get too stressed out. And I know that FPL can be quite stressful, especially when you're having a bad time. So that would be my main advice. And yeah, I mean, in terms of errors, I've made errors before as well on Christmas, so try not to do too many sort of drunken transfers or drunken minus fours or switch off and transfer out the wrong goalkeeper, because I've done that before as well. So, I think that's the main plan for Christmas. Just, you know, obviously keep an eye on your team, make sure you don't miss any of the deadlines, because the deadlines are coming thick and fast. I think it's game week 18 or 19 is the sort of 26th and 27th of December, and then the next one begins the next day on the 28th. So, yeah, just make sure you don't miss any deadlines and, have a good time over Christmas.
Exactly. All right, let's take a break, then move on to the features.
Who got the assist?
So we're back and it's time to go for our features. This is the Market Forces, the Over 30s and Dab Watch. Nick, you're the man across the numbers. What's going on in the markets?
So the most transferred in player at the moment is Kevin De Bruyne. Not surprisingly, after that absolutely fantastic performance against Arsenal at the weekend. He's had 130,000 transfers in at the time of recording. Lots of people jumping on him, having missed out on those two goals and one assist. He could have easily had a hat trick as well. So De Bruyne, very much in our thoughts again after what was perhaps a little bit of a thought about maybe a few of us thinking about getting rid of him after a couple of blanks for Manchester City. Mark, what do you think about De Bruyne and Manchester City assets in general?
Yeah, you know, I would love to know how many of those 130,000 are people who sold them just 1 week ago and are going back with their tail between their legs now. So yeah, it's I think De Bruyne is, you know, I've said it most of the season that I see him as a season keeper just for the simple fact that he is world class and he's underpriced, you know, in any place for one of the best teams in the league. So I think he's the go-to guy from City. Sterling has shown signs in recent weeks that maybe he's going to do well over the Christmas period, but I still think he's pretty hefty in price when you've got the likes of the Liverpool assets and the Spurs assets as well. So, you know, we can't really touch City defensively this season because there's just too much rotation there. I think Aguero's back in training now, so that might tempt a few people in over the Christmas period. But for me, as long as Jesus is fit and playing, you know, relatively well, you know, he's not scoring many goals, but I just don't like the rotation there. So for me, it's still KDB or nobody from Man City.
So not Mary's boy child then. So yeah, I think the most transferred out player at the moment actually, on the contrary, is Sadio Mane with 100,000 transfers out at this moment in time. I guess quite a few managers sort of going for the sale, though when you look at his actual ownership, it's 3 million at the moment, believe it or not, which is a ridiculous number of managers. You forget how many actually play this game. So only 3% of managers have actually sold Sadio Mane at this moment in time. Now, of course, there's a lot of inactive managers and obviously a few more sales are going to feed through. But it seems at the moment that not too many people jumping on the Liverblank and, you know, the likes of Mane and other Liverpool players leaving the squad, because Mane is actually the only one in the top five transferred out players at this moment in time. But otherwise, Marcus Rashford also attracting a lot of owners. I know you looked at him, Tom, but Manchester United, next three are actually really good. They've got Watford up in game week 18. Perhaps they are actually the team to own over game week 18. And then they've got Newcastle and Burnley after that. So yeah, a lot of interest in Rashford. Blanked at the weekend, but definitely a player in form that's looking very good this season.
Yeah, definitely. And carrying the can for a very, very disappointing performance last weekend, it's Chelsea. There are loads of people who doubled up, tripled up, expected it to be a walkover with the ravaged Bournemouth backline. I think loads of people saying, oh, you know, this is going to be a very, very good result for them. Really, to me, as somebody who's been through lots of these and had high expectations, it just felt like they were going to lose it, and they duly did. So Mason Mount, Pulisic and Abraham have all been sacrificed by many managers, 60,000 for Mount and 55,000 each for Pulisic and Abraham. And I think Pulisic especially, owners have been very, very unlucky, haven't they? He's been statting incredibly well, and he literally went from well-beaten to headless chicken incredibly quickly after that 20-pointer, that 9 in the 8 and game weeks 10 and 12. He's absolutely fallen apart, and many people will feel a little bit aggrieved about how that's kind of turned out.
Pulisic it's an interesting one. I feel very fortunate as someone who didn't get him at all. I feel very fortunate that he's blanked in five games. I can't really get my head around how he has. Oh, you know, watching the highlights, looking at the numbers, it's unbelievable. So yeah, it's Chelsea are an interesting one now. It's you know, they were excellent, you know, first quarter of the season. They started to stumble a little bit now, so we're probably going to see some, you know, transfer activity from them in the January transfer window. So yeah, it's probably time for Pulisic to go, I think, for anyone who's had him for 4 or 5 game weeks.
Yeah, Chelsea definitely appearing quite heavily on the market forces there. Yes, just to round up the market forces, George Bulldog attracting some attention as well, having scored and got an assist the other week, and also Sheffield United picking up a clean sheet this week. He's had 75,000 transfers in. Jack Grealish as well, another player, a lot of interest in. Aston Villa have some really nice fixtures for their next four. So Southampton, Norwich, Watford and Burnley up next for Aston Villa. So, you know, Jack Grealish seems to be their talisman this season. No surprise that 70,000 managers have brought him in. And also Heung-min Son, who we talked about a lot in the early section, with 55,000 transfers in. But I will also mention quickly the 10th most transferred in player, which is Mo Salah, 37,000 transfers in, unbelievably so far this game week. So a lot of people who obviously haven't noticed the liver blank and maybe have had a few too many drinks over the festive season there.
Yeah, they'll probably captain him as well.
Yeah, get the vice cap, lock their way into it, absolutely. All right, next thing to talk about is the over 30s, just briefly. And they didn't do very well. They got 42 points. They also triple captain Jamie Vardy for 15, which is a bit unfortunate. But David Silva not showing up, and Cahill surprisingly not showing up tonight. I mean, the non-goal scoring forward, David McGoldrick, comes on, Didzy, who, as he's known, and Moutinho comes off the bench for David Silva. But yeah, not a very good week for them at all. Aubameyang, Ozil, and Willian all blanking, and only Basham giving any kind of points return other than Jamie Vardy. So yeah, not very good for them at all. And finally, Dab Watch Nick, he was spotted in the bar, had a good chat with lots of people. But how's he been doing in FPL? Did he make any drunk trances on the way home?
No, as far as I know, he hasn't made any drunk transfers. He's still sticking with the original lot. They're doing well for him. He did all right this week. He got 63 points, so it looks like he's got a small green arrow there. Still beating me, though. I am slowly catching up with him. He's around the 60k mark at the moment. So, yeah, still having a really good season there. All right, so that's our feature section, and we'll be back after this break. Who got the assist?
That was very smooth then.
The magic of editing will make it seem a lot better.
Who got the assist?
So we're back and it's time to catch up with the Who Got the Assist mini league. If you want to join the league, the code is EIKX03. And as usual, the game's still updating, so I can't do a proper update, but just a few shout outs to the guys that are doing really well. Kieran Screeton looks like he's still number one with Pain in the Vast, and got a 66 pointer this week, up to 112 overall rank, which is just absolutely amazing. And Mutabil Islam is just behind him. He got 66 points as well. Looks like he's only 2 points behind him right now. Also doing fantastically well, 143 overall rank. And looks like he's number one in Bangladesh as well. So well done, guys. Having a great season. Hopefully we can do a proper update at some point for all the other guys in the mini league.
Yeah, maybe on Sunday we'll be able to finally do it. Right, and moving on to questions. Thanks very much for those questions this week. I wonder why. We got much more than usual. Only put the rod out for about 20 minutes, got loads of questions, and brought it back in again because we had more than enough and captured the zeitgeist. The first thing to speak about this week is the Toffees, Everton, a long-forgotten FPL team. But it looks like they are back into the reckoning again with Big Dunk inspiring them, or in Moyes Keane's case, annoying them. So Cameron and Mr. Smith asked about Everton assets. Cameron asked, is Richarlison worth a look? And Mr. Smith even asked if a defender is worth looking at. One of those, we've got to wonder, is it too soon to be providing some optimism? I've seen as well lots of rumours that Ancelotti is a man slated to be taking over Everton. Mark, what do you think about Everton at the moment?
I've still got very little interest in them. I mean, in Duncan's own words, they've put in a real shift for him the last couple of games. But for me, it's a wait and see, I think, until, you know, who are they going to appoint? If Ancelotti comes in, I think that would be probably good news for us FPL managers. Maybe there could be some value to be had there, maybe in defence. But I think it's Arsenal next. Well, Arsenal's a good fixture nowadays, but I can see why people are, you know, I've seen Richarlison mentioned quite a bit this week. I think it's a good strategy to target Arsenal, and maybe for people like myself who can take a 1 week punt this week, Richarlison's actually not the worst pick. You could even go one step further and go crazy and give him the armband against that defence. But for me, yeah, it's a wait and see. I think Lucas Digne went off injured in the last game, so a bit of a nostalgic pick for Christmas, maybe. Maybe Leighton Baines can come in and get penalties for the next couple of games.
What a call that would be. Imagine a 20-pointer on Leighton Baines. Oh, that would be very... What year would that even be now? 2012, 2013, Leighton Baines?
Yeah, what is he, 35 now? But, I mean, he could still take a better penalty than Sigurdsson.
Yeah, still take a mean free kick as well, I'm sure.
Maybe a purchase for the over 30s there, Tom.
Yeah, maybe. No, I see what you mean, Mark. I think that Richarlison would be the only one I'm interested in there. Looking at the data on Fantastic Hub, he's third, for example, amongst midfielders for attempts in the box over the last six games. A decent XG, actually, a 3.1, score four as well. So kind of on target there. He scored four over the last six. So that's even with the likes of Mane, the likes of Ali. However, he's on four yellow cards at the moment. He's still got the last couple of weeks. And it does feel a bit early. It does feel like there's still a little bit of flux going on there, the new manager. Of course, you can jump into that and try to do very well leaning into that. For example, when Ole took over and when Mourinho took over, is Ancelotti going to have that same galvanising effect? It'd be interesting to see. I didn't actually want him at Arsenal, for the record. But yeah, I'm not sure about them. I think I'm happily going to be ignoring them for the time being, despite the fact that if I did have like a one-week punt or something like that, I'd be interested in Richarlison. Whether I captain him, I'm not sure I quite do that.
Yeah, I think Richarlison, he is the talisman there, so he'd be the one that you'd want to bring in. And I guess Everton do seem slightly revitalised, what with that sort of 4 points against Chelsea and Manchester United, with Duncan Ferguson bringing back that fighting spirit that they've been sorely lacking. So I think, you know, you do look at Richarlison. He is an option. You have to say he is an option. What with Arsenal at home, that kind of is the type of fixture that you would expect him perhaps to haul. And the fixtures are starting to improve for Everton. Actually, from their January actually looks pretty decent, with sort of a run of fixtures of Brighton, West Ham, Newcastle, Watford and Palace. Perhaps, I guess with Everton, I'd say wait and see. You know, last time they had a run of really good fixtures, they were absolutely shocking and you know, just looking at Luca Dean's performances in my zombie team, for instance, he's been absolutely stinking them out, unfortunately. And he was one of my sort of picks at the beginning of the season. So he's been a bit disappointing in terms of what he's delivered. And I just look at the rest of the Everton team, and I don't really see anyone that appeals. Maybe Dominic Calvert-Lewin as a sort of a cheap third forward as well, as a bit of a punt if you fancy a Christmas risk. But there isn't really anyone else that, you know, I'd recommend. And I think there's certainly better options that we talked about out there.
Right, moving on to the next thing. Alisson, but not the Liverpool keeper. Our friend, and I believe, Mark, you've met up with Paddy several times, FPL King. Hobbs 3103 and German Compulter ask if Ali and Son are the new Sterling and KDB. So I've spoken about them a fair bit as part of my upcoming strategy, and Mark mentioned them as well in glowing terms in terms of bringing them both in. Of course, at the start of the season, there were Kevin De Bruyne and Sterling in many sides. And I think that kind of the cut price duo of Son and Ali is beginning to look very, very attractive, isn't it, Mark? Especially for those great Spurs fixtures we mentioned.
Yeah, I'm always targeting those midfielders that are not really midfielders. You know, when you're getting the likes of Ali and Son and you know Sterling as well, you're getting yourself extra forwards for your FPL team. So, like I said, watch extended highlights of that Spurs Wolves game today, and you know Wolves were by far and away the better side in that game, but in terms of the Spurs attack, it was all Son and Ali in the final third. So I really like the idea of the double up. I wouldn't go as far as saying they're the new Sterling and De Bruyne. De Bruyne, I don't think anyone will be selling De Bruyne anytime soon after that performance at the weekend. You know, he's capable of that in any game. So I think De Bruyne has to stay now. But definitely, if you can get a midfield that has all three, Ali, Son and KDB, like you mentioned earlier, I definitely like the idea of that.
Certainly where I'm going. And what's really interesting, actually, is I think a few people have noted this, that Son appears to have done... I think when Mourinho went into Man United and Sanchez joined, he became a bit more creative as well, where we'd always seen him as a goal scorer. Over the last four, Son's got a higher XA and has created more big chances than De Bruyne. So it seems like there's a bit of an interesting thing going on with Son, even though he's got Vertonghen behind him, providing that platform for him to roam. As you say, Ali's the key, isn't he? Because he is the, how did Mourinho put it, a 10 playing as a 9.5 with Harry Kane, looking to be the man creating the space for Ali to do anything. Nick, what do you reckon about double up? I know you've got Ali looking to add Son or anybody else.
So I've already got Ali, and I remember from the Christmas party, so many people are waxing lyrical about Son and his potential and what he could do over the Christmas period. And I just came away from it just thinking, I just really need to bring this guy in, to be honest. Like, just, you know, like fit him in my team. So I was like, right, that's it. De Bruyne's gone. He's gone from my team. That's the way in. It seemed like such an easy way for me just to get him in. And then obviously Sunday happened. And now I'm just like, I don't know what to do at all. You know, like just finding sort of 2 million and selling Madison. It just doesn't really sit right with me at all. So I think I might have to just go with just Ali, perhaps. It's a bit of a risk, or maybe figure out some other way, which I haven't thought of right now. So that's possibly what I'm going to do. I'm not sure yet if they are the new Sterling and KDB. I mean, as a Spurs fan, it's great to see both the players, you know, in form and doing well, again, after a bit of a dodgy start to the season. But, you know, I'm not sure if they're the next Sterling and KDB. I'm not sure if they're the next Salah or Mane either. I think they're both very, very good players. And, you know, Spurs will compete to finish fourth for sure this season. But I think the double up is definitely on, and I reckon, you know, I'm gutted that I'm potentially going to miss out on having both.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned that there was a lot of Son love at the Christmas party. And the next question is actually all about Son, which you've partially answered, Nick. So we'll take that as your answer for this one. Lots of questions about signing him. Should he be the man to come in this week? FPL JK, Atomic FPL, Igwe, and Nobody Cares ask, is it time to bring in Son? Is he captaincy material? So he's definitely one that I've been thinking about for Chelsea. I think there's definitely going to be goals in that game. And I think that Son, and maybe Ali, actually, if I buy him, I'd be more tempted to captain him over Son, because I think he's at the sharp end at the moment. But you know, a lot of love for Son at the moment out there. And is it justified, Mark?
Yeah, I think Son's a bit of a no-brainer at this time, because I think the Chelsea fixture is great for him, because Chelsea haven't been great defensively this season. And then they've got that really nice run, 19, 20 and 21. So as you mentioned, he's been more creative in recent weeks as well, which just makes him the ideal FPL midfielder. You know, he's a greedy player. He'll take a lot of shots on, but now he's got the bonus of creating lots of chances, and lots of very good chances as well. A lot of those chances he created have been big chances. So I think, you know, I put out a tweet a couple of days ago that, you know, Son is the one player I fear most any weekend when I don't have him, because he is just the ideal FPL midfielder, and I'm really looking forward to getting him in my team this week. And there's a very good chance he'll get the armband as well for me. It's Son is as good as anyone this week, I think, for that.
I'm feeling a bit stressed now, to be honest, thinking about Son and just how I get this guy in. Just, everyone seems to be just raving about him. I just can't see how it's working for my team right now. But I think probably what I'll do is I'll see how he looks in the Chelsea game and then make a decision after that one for sure, because the next three after that are very tasty.
Yeah, certainly. I just think Ali is a good captaincy option for you, or at least a good cover option. I can see why people are looking at Son, because I got him in ages ago. I got him in basically when the week after Mourinho came in. He's been there ever since. And I think that he could be on for having one of those seasons that he's always threatened to have. Fragmented seasons. He's been, you know, playing in Asian Cups all over the place and trying to avoid national service. So I think this year, I mean, he obviously missed the first game week, but ever since, he's been fairly ever-present under Mourinho, I'm sure. Will be playing pretty much the majority of the minutes over Christmas, and I'm very glad that against Wolves he and Ali were quiet, because it means he's in the transfer market as well. I mean, Son is being bought, but he and Ali together as a pair aren't destroying those metrics at the moment. I'm hoping it stays that way, so I can at least get 1 or 2 weeks with that nice double up there. All right, next question is top premiums. Adam Pritchard at 35 Who asks, which 10 million assets are the best for Christmas? We've kind of already spoken about this as well, and I think it's probably fair to say that we probably say Son, De Bruyne, and probably Mane. But an interesting way to further put this is Vardy. And we've got a good question here from Glenn Kitely. He asks, what should non-owners do? He hasn't owned Vardy all this time. If you've ever gotten yourself into the situation through stubbornness, through, you know, saying to people, well, I commit here and now to never owning Vardy, but now I'm thinking, yeah, I should probably get this guy in. Spot Vardy's name for any player in the past you could have been stubborn about, Ramsey, Yaya Toure. What would you advise these guys to do now, Mark?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that their stubbornness. It's probably one of the most important lessons to learn in FPL at some point. We all learn it the hard way at some point. And it's actually Vardy who taught me the lesson during that title winning season. I just went the whole season and just said, this guy is not going to keep this up. He's not going to keep it up. He can't keep scoring. I think it was game week 35 or 36 before I got him in. I think I still had a very good season that year. So if I hadn't been so stubborn, I probably would have had an extremely high finish. So yeah, it's... I think if you don't have Vardy at this stage, you need to sit down and have a really long, hard think about, you know, life and about FPL and about this guy Vardy, and, you know, just learn from it. You know, you can't be stubborn with these kind of players. It's, in a way, it's, you know, it's getting in a player so that you don't lose. You know, you can try and be, you know, too clever and everything else, but when a guy is just playing so well, he's had great fixtures as well, so there was no excuse not to get him in. So I've really got no sympathy for anyone who has still not got him at this stage. But what is he now? He's probably over 10 million at this point. You've probably it's getting trickier now, because what is it? It's City, is it City and Liverpool coming up soon? And yeah, it's a tough one. So I would still say just go and get him, and you'll just be a happier person for it.
Yeah, definitely. There's players like Lundstram, you know, in the past I mentioned a few of them that. When you're not an owner, you are kind of spending every weekend kind of quaking, thinking, oh, you know, how much is my rank going to go down when this guy does something? It's never a good position to be in, just crossing your fingers and hoping for somebody to blank. And I just think that sometimes it is about getting out of your own way and just kind of getting rid of that pride, getting rid of that stubbornness and thinking, yeah, it's the best for my team. Even if I've told all my mates I'm not going to sign this guy, sometimes it is, if you are kind of seriously playing, it's a good thing to swap those sort of nights tossing and turning, worrying about it, for a silent night. So, I think with Vardy, if you haven't signed him this long, is there a case to kind of continue with that sunk cost and think, well, I haven't signed him now, I've missed all those points. It is, as Mark said, just a defensive move, I think, and probably one that I'd advise doing just about still.
Yeah, it is the equivalent of that sunk cost fallacy, isn't it? And I do remember that season as well, Mark. I didn't own Vardy at all that season. I think that's my sort of worst overall performance since I started playing FPL properly, just not owning Jamie Vardy. And I nearly did the same this season as well, thinking at the time, oh, I've got Maddison, he could potentially be my Vardy cover. But kind of, you know, had to just look at myself and think, well, I've got to get this guy in. And since I've got him in, I haven't looked back. And, you know, his performances have been rewarding to my FPL team. But, you know, I think in terms of bringing him in now, I'm not sure, you know, right now, I wouldn't say bring him in. If you don't own him, I would say look at Manchester City and Liverpool. I think maybe you could get away with not owning him. And maybe that's a bit of a risky thing to say, considering the form that he's been in. But, you know, next two aren't great for Leicester. So, you know, perhaps if you've got another couple of Leicester assets, then maybe you could take some risks at this moment in time and see if you can catch up on the guys that have had Jamie Vardy and have reaped all those dividends. You know, you could perhaps be looking at some of those other forwards we mentioned, like Rashford and Jimenez, if you don't own those guys, or, you know, another team that have a pretty decent fixture this week. Perhaps I can't think of anyone particularly, maybe Aubameyang, for instance, against Everton. You could take a punt there and say, right, this might be my opportunity to catch up on a few people if you are. Because if you don't own Vardy, your overall rank's probably not great at this particular moment in time, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe. I think it's still about templating, having that sort of template armour against those highly owned players like Lundstram and Vardy. There's definitely a case, though. Like, for example, with Rashford, the reason I bought him this week was because of my fear that he would eventually go on to be a Vardy-like character that everybody owned, would be continuing to return in every game. And the quality of chances he was getting was pretty good. It just didn't kind of work out on the day. I think if you get some mileage out of perhaps trying to anticipate what the next template is going to be, the only problem is that you're in salvage op mode because of the last template destroying you so badly. Oh, yeah. God, I'm glad I got in Vardy all that time ago and wasn't away in the manger making terrible decisions. Right, and the final question this week, and a nice segue to the end of the podcast, is FPL Dave, who asks, who is the best captain for game week 18? I've already given it a set out of my stool. I think it's probably going to be one of the players from Tottenham in that Spurs-Chelsea game. I just think that that's going to be, has the potential to be an absolute humdinger. So I think that I'll be going on the sleigh ride, maybe with Ali, maybe with Son himself. If I buy in Ali, I'd be very, very tempted to give him the captaincy, with lots of people doubtless looking at Son as their shiny new captaincy acquisition. But I think Ali will be the man at the sharp end, perhaps converting the chances against Chelsea. I mean, Rudiger is back, but I mean, they couldn't stop Bournemouth, who were without Wilson from scoring last week. So yeah, I think that Chelsea wobble may well continue. Who knows?
So I think there's certainly a few options. The Spurs assets obviously catching your eye there, but I would also like to highlight some of the options in the forward line. I actually really like Rashford and Jimenez as captain picks this game week, just mainly because of the fixtures. You know, Rashford's playing Watford, and Watford have been absolutely diabolical this season. Jimenez is playing Norwich, who haven't actually been much better. I can see, like, looking to attack Wolves and trying to take the game to them, and I can see that perhaps blowing up in their face a little bit as well. And then perhaps some returns for Jimenez. He seems to be always returning, even if he's never hauling. And I just fancy him for a good game. I mean, looking at sort of the forwards and their goal attempts, both Rashford and Jimenez are right at the top in terms of overall attempts with 51 and 49. I think Jimenez has been a bit unlucky only to have 6 goals to his name, but he also has been creating chances. He's top for chances created for forwards with 28, joint top for assists for 4. So, you know, I'm actually thinking about perhaps Jimenez. I'd also say Vardy's an option. I know I was just saying don't buy him if you haven't got him already. But, you know, he does always look dangerous against Manchester City. And you know that Leicester are really good on the counter-attack. In the 9 times he's played Manchester City, he's got 5 goals and 1 assist, which is actually one of his better records against Premier League clubs. So, yeah, I think Vardy's also an option there. What about yourself, Mark? What are you thinking?
Just, you know, just listening to yourself and Tom there, I might just let my wife choose my captain this week, because it's slim pickings. You know, I think whoever can nail the captaincy this week are probably going to be the managers who can fly. It's a tough one. I stuck my bus captain on De Bruyne just right after that game on Sunday. But, you know, the more I think about it, I think, you know, Leicester have been very good defensively this season. So I don't really see Man City, you know, putting 3 or 4 goals past Leicester. I've always kind of, you know, earmarked Jimenez for this game week. You know, I've had him now for quite a while. And one of the main reasons I kept him was for this Norwich fixture. But Norwich, again, have looked, you know, better in the last couple of games. I like the Rashford shout from you, Nick, as well. I don't have him, but I think if I did have him, he would be right up there in my thoughts for the captaincy this weekend. So it's a tough one. I think if I had to make the decision tonight, I don't own the guy yet, but once he comes in, I think Heung-min's son will be, you know, will have a very good chance of getting my armband this week.
I've sold Jimenez, but he would have been the player that... He's a player who's dependable for a return. It's just whether I think he will get you kind of 10+, whether he'll get you that explosion. The reason I got rid of him for Rashford is because I think Rashford is more capable of that sort of explosiveness, whereas Jimenez perhaps isn't. Jimenez will get you, like, you know, 6-7 against Norwich, who, as you said, looking a lot stronger. Whereas I think Rashford is in against what... Well, there's obviously the question of what they're like against that sort of team. But he's got that in his arsenal, I think, to get you a nice captaincy return there. So I can see that.
Yeah, I feel the same about Jimenez. It feels like a good choice, but it feels like a very boring choice that is not going to be, you know, massive. So just to throw one more name into the mix here as well, another player I'm considering bringing in this week is Jack Grealish. And I think that Aston Villa game at home against Southampton. Southampton have been pretty atrocious defensively this season. And, you know, Grealish on penalties now, hopefully he still has them. I would expect him to still have them even after the miss at the weekend. So, you know, he's looked really good over the last, you know, 5-6 game weeks. Going back to your talisman theory, he is the main man at Aston Villa. So if I do bring him in, you know, if there ever was a game week to go different with the captaincy when there's going to be quite a spread, I don't think that's a crazy idea either.
No, I totally get that as well. As you said, there's lots of good options, and I could very well ask my girlfriend as well to tell me which one's the best looking option. Well, I think she'd probably look at it at other reasons, right, if I said good looking option. But I mean, my final word this week is, Nick, I like the Vardy mention as well, just because I think that people are put off by captaining against a quote unquote top six team. Vardy will get a lot of space against City, and that City defence is not a mean one. I'm not worried about captaining a player against them, I suppose. Same with the Spurs players against Chelsea. I think there'll be lots of quote unquote less engaged managers who will look at the fact they're playing Chelsea and think, nah, I'm not captaining there. And that could really give you an advantage. But just to round off then, you've kind of heard what our captains may well be. We'll see what happens after the League Cup as well, of course, midweek. But what transfers are we looking at, guys? We've all been hinting at them throughout the pod anyway. Nick, what are you doing?
So at the moment, as I said, I'm not looking at tearing up any trees. I think it's probably going to be something quite boring. Looking at the starting 11, I'm relatively happy about it. The only thing I don't like about it is having to play Soyuncu against Manchester City. I've got a bit of cash invested in this guy, so I'm not massively keen to get rid of him because he has been a pretty decent servant to the side, and Leicester have kept plenty of clean sheets. But Manchester City and Liverpool up next, I don't really want a Leicester defender for those two games, especially a centre-back. So I think he's possibly going to go. Looking at a few options at the moment, as I said, the likes of perhaps George Baldock at Sheffield United, or I can actually even afford Ender Stevens, so I might go for him instead. Even though I think Sheffield United have a couple of decent fixtures, Brighton and Watford, then they play Manchester City and Liverpool, and then potentially in a scenario where I'm stuck with two Sheffield United defenders for that game. So I might change things up, and it might only be a short-term move. But that's what I'm looking at right now, just shore up the defence. Very, very plain and boring. And as I said, at the moment, I've got it on Jimenez for that Norwich game. So he's going to be the captain at the moment. I'm tempted by Rashford and Vardy. I'm also, as I said, there's so many different options. Very hard week for the captain pick. But, you know, the likes of Ali and De Bruyne are up there as well as choices. But Jimenez at the moment is my captain pick. What about yourself, Mark?
Yeah, so Wilfred Zaha has kind of thrown a spanner into the works. Now, it would have been quite easy to make my transfers this week if he had a blank. So that goal may save him from the chop, because I had looked at, you know, I've got two frees, so Mane to Son, and I could have done Zaha to Grealish. Nice and simple, play 3-4-3 and just bench Trent then. But the other option then would be, so I'm pretty set on Mane to Son. I think that one will happen. It's just a matter of what my second one is then. So I could still go Zaha to Grealish, or I could go Cantwell to Grealish. But if I go Cantwell to Grealish, it means I've got, you know, eight strong attackers, and I would have to bench one of them. So I'm like most people this week. Defensively, it's going to be Lundstrom, Kelly and Rico. Bench Trent, and then I've got Tomori. So the other option would be, rather than get Grealish, maybe deal with Tomori, get rid of him, get him in for someone who's got a decent fixture this game week, and just play them instead. So, yeah, it's a couple of different options, but I'm pretty set on getting Heung-min Son. That's one thing for sure.
Certainly, you know, someone like Target, maybe, you know, someone like that to get rid of Tomori. I mean, there are quite a few around that. Maybe even like, you know, Lewis Dunk. At least you know he's going to play every 90.
Yeah, no good getting Lewis Dunk this week though, because Lundstrom's going to get a hat trick. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just for one game week. If I'm looking for a cheap defender, maybe I think the Newcastle Crystal Palace fixture is the one that jumps out of the page as a 0-0. So maybe one from one of those sides.
Yeah, certainly you're in a bit of a unique position, aren't you, with the wild card that you can just take a pun. It's just a shame it's such a boring position to be taking said pun in. Anyway, I know what you mean about Zaha. Some stats which have emerged which are bowling me over for Zaha versus Brighton. He had zero big chances. He had one shot, one inside the box, one on target, the same shot. And his XG was 0.06 for the shot that he scored, which was billowed into the roof of the net, of course. An amazing strike, but other than that, absolutely soddle. So I'm very tempted to take the money and run and move on to somebody else, because I feel like every week we're going to be, as long as you keep him, you'll be kind of thinking, oh, have Palace done anything yet? Have Palace done anything yet? If they do happen to score, we'd like to get the points with Zaha, but more often than not, I just think having an attacking player in the defensive team, as Matthew Jones put it earlier, may not be the best thing. And I'm kind of much more enamoured with that Spurs double up idea. So that would be TAA out for a defender under 5.3 for a mad reason. For a mad moment over the weekend, I did consider Man United defenders. I saw Wan-Bissaka, for example, got two bonus in a 1-1 draw, which is pretty damn good actually. And Maguire's always threatening that 15-pointer, but I just don't think they're ever going to do it. So it could well be Aurier who comes in for TAA, who I am happy to sell. That would finance Zaha to Ali and give me a very, very strong front seven for Christmas. So that may be where I'll go. We'll see. I mean, I could always roll it. I do have a decent team. I do have Soyuncu on the bench, so I'm not in a position like Nick is where I'm forced to play him. I've got that amazing holy trinity of Rico, Lindstrom and Kelly at the back doing the business. It's just whether Zaha can move on to someone better. I think at the moment, yes. So I may well end up taking that. And in line with my idea to not be making any transfers on Christmas Day, I may go ahead and do that just to save myself the inevitable disaster that a Christmas Day transfer would be. Right, that's a lot this week. I just say we are Who Got The Assist. You can find us on Twitter at @WGTA_FPL. You can find Nick at @WGTA_Nick. Listen and subscribe across the following spectrum. We were joined today by the amazing FPL General. Thanks very much, mate, for coming on. I really hope you've recovered as well after last week.
Thanks for having me on, lads. Pleasure as always. And keep up the good work. And I hope you both have a lovely Christmas as well.
You too, mate.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. You too. Have a great Christmas. Yeah, if you want to join our league, the league code is EIKX03, and there's a theme to every week as well. Last week, it was Doctor Who.
Yep. We'll be potentially back with a short pod next Sunday. I think if we can find some time, Nick, we'll get like a 30, 40 minute one out. But in the meantime, we hope this assists you. And if we don't speak to you before, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night or day, depending on when you're listening. But yeah, thanks very much. Speak to you very soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Awesome. Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.